Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayele Choronim. Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva and he went to Choron. Now, some commentators make note of the fact that it says twice. He went out of Be'er Sheva. Of course, if he went out to Be'er Sheva, why does it say Vayetze Vayelech, right? So the Dumna Magid said, sometimes a person goes away from one place, and the purpose is just to go away from that place. Doesn't matter where he's going, just go away from that place. Sometimes it's not a question of having to leave that place, but the idea is that you have another place that you have to go to. By Yaakov, there was a dual reason why Yaakov went away. First, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. He had to go away from Be'er Sheva. Because of what? Because of the hatred of Esau. He had to run away for his life because Rivka told him that he has to run away for his life. So he went away from Be'er Sheva. In addition to going away from Be'er Sheva, so then Vayelech, in addition to that, he also went to Choron. So there were two reasons. One reason, Avram Avinu really, when he leaves, also, how does it start in the beginning by Avram? Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Elo Oretz Asher Areka. So there were really two reasons why Avram left, if you go into comparison. It says, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha U'mimaladetecha U'mibeis Avicha. Leave your homeland, Artzecha, your birth city, Mibeis Avicha, your father's house. Why do we have that detailed description? So Hirsch explains it there. I want you to root out from you all influences, the influence of your surrounding, the influence of your particular land, and the influence of Mibeis Avicha. So going of your father's house, because Avram became a father of man in his own. So going away was a purpose in Vayetz, in Lech Lecha. Also, Elo Oretz Asher Areka, I will tell you where you will find the fertile land for your teachings. So here, Vayetze Yaakov, Yaakov left Mibeer Sheva, Vayelech Chorono, and he went to Choron. So there was the purpose in what he did, both in his leaving, and also Vayelech Chorono in his coming, and his coming there. Vayelech Chorono. So now, Vayivka Bamakom, he came to that place, and Vayolen Shom Kippo HaShemesh, and he rested there, and it turned out that that place happened to be the place of what? Of the Beis HaMikdash. Now he says he takes from the stones of the place and he puts it around his head, Vayishkav Bamokem Ahu, and he goes to sleep in that place. Now that's interesting, the idea of taking the stones, right, and putting it around his head. One would think, did that actually have any value? All right, did that have any value, the fact that he put it around his head? It's like later when he put the sticks there so that the animals should see and they should breed in that color. It really doesn't have. So like some commentaries say, the idea is that a person goes ahead and he has to do everything that he possibly could do. Yaakov went ahead and he put the stones around his head. Why? So the wild animals should not come and the wild animals should not surround him and jump over him. So does this mean that the wild animals would not be able to reach him? Obviously, if you have a big ferocious lion that's coming there, he'll go right over a three-deck tier of little rocks and he'll get to his prey if he really wants to. So Reb Simcha Zissel from Kelem, he stopped on this in his Musar way. Rashi says, he says, that he was afraid because of the evil chayas. So he says, what kind, who is he fooling? What benefit can you have with a little bit of stones around your head? Can't the chayas go through that way? Later it says, he took the makolos, he says, the sticks, and the animals should see that. And then it says that the angels went ahead and they were the ones, like the angel told them later, the reason why they gave birth to the speckled animals is because I like brought the speckled animals over here to in a miraculous way that they should be able to give birth from them. Not really the makolis. So Now, if you'll ask Yaakov, he'd get up in the morning, right? And we get up in the morning, what would we say? Oh, boy. I mean, there's two things. You get up in the morning and you see that you still have your head on. You're not in the lion's stomach. So you'll say, either thank God my head is still on me. It's a miracle of Hashem. Or you'll say, that was a real novel idea that I put around me, this fence, because of... Now, obviously, it was most of us, I think we were attuned to say, that was a terrific idea that I put the fence around me. But really, that fence didn't mean a thing. The only reason you had to put the fence around, so he says the idea is, if everything is a miracle, it's really a miracle, so why do we have to have, everything is a miracle, then why do we have to have the ishtadlut? I mean, why do we have to have the action, the activity, which this misleads us? So he says, precisely because of that. Because the test of man is, do you say, Keichi ve'eitzem yodi yosalias achoyel azeh? Is it indeed what I did that was the reason for my success? So Hashem like hid all the miracles and he placed it in such a way that the human being would have a mistake to think that really he was responsible for that. But actually the fact what he did was only as much as he could do, but it didn't really have any benefit. Whatever a person does, hu b'derech nes, what Hashem does for him is a nes. The same idea with the sticks. It wasn't because Yaakov put the sticks there, but it was because Hashem, the only reason that it did was to make the nes even shorter. I mean, it shouldn't be as obvious, because a nes should never be obvious. But the truth is, he says, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made up the Shemoneh Esrei, so they put in very clear, V'yal nisefa shebechol yoyim imonu. Your miracles that happen with us every day. Now, if we were asked, not thinking in that vein, have you ever had any miracles happen to you? So we would look through life and we'd say, well, maybe one or two times, mamash, there were miracles that happened one or two times. Yet the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah say in the Shemoneh Esrei, V'yal nisefa shebechol yoyim imonu. Because they recognized that the miracles are miracles that happen every day. How often a person is able to recognize it depends on how strong his understanding and his wisdom is. The hashtadlut is there in order for a person to be able to have this toast. But one who has true emunah, one who has true faith, there's just no way that that person would not really be successful, because he recognizes the true emunah in Hashem. Now this is a note that he made in Vayishkav Me'avnei Hamokem Vayosem Mirashesa. The Chazal also say that Vayishkav Bamokem Hahu. How does it say in verse 11? And he slept in that place. So Rashi says that the word Bamokem Hahu is Lashon Miut. It excludes. It seems he just slept here. But the 14 years that he went in Yeshivat Shem Ve'ever, because we know when he ran away, he went 14 years in Shem Ve'ever, and he didn't sleep there at night, because he was Oisek B'Torah, because he was involved totally in Torah. So now, what does this mean? He was involved in Torah and he didn't sleep for it. That means, what would we say? He didn't sleep luxuriously. You know, he slept with his clothes on and didn't... But actually, how luxuriously did he sleep here? He was laying there with a rock for a pillow on the hard ground. And it says, oh, this is slept. But 14 years, he didn't sleep. So we could just picture 14 years that Yaakov didn't sleep. So they bring down that the fact is, how could that possibly be b'derech hatevet? In the natural, almost it's beyond supernatural, that a person shouldn't sleep in that 12, 14 years. All right, you'll say he dreamt a little, but 14 years constantly. So the Mir HaShir of Chaim Shmulevitch, he said, from here we could see that there's almost nothing beyond the capacity of the human will and the human mind. We think sometimes, or we heard the story, for example, I did, when we heard with Mendelovich, Joseph Mendelovich, when he was in Russia, or Sharansky. And we would think that it's humanly, it's beyond the capacity of a human being to be able, like if you read Sharansky's book or you listen to him, to be able to remain so determined, and his wish and will should be so unbreakable. But the answer is that there is nothing beyond the capacity of the will of a human being. The amount of strength that this will has is phenomenal. And you always think of it, I still don't understand how they do that, you know. If I go and I take my hand, right, and I go like this, stuchi and vei, right, it hurts. Yet, somebody who is a black belt, karate, he'll take a bunch of rocks, and he'll just go like this, and he'll be able to break the rocks. I still don't know how they do it. But that is, it's obviously done. In a sense, it has a certain amount of will over matter. So you see, there is the thing of will over matter. In medicine, lately they've been writing a lot of that up too, the idea of will over matter. So the will that a person has is just phenomenal in what that it could accomplish. So he says that the idea is, now if a person has this will, let's give an example. So if Chaim says, say that a house is burning down, and you could make normally, if I walk, in these 5 minutes I walk into the house, out, I could do it twice. But if I'm trying to rescue my treasures from that house, so there's no question, he says, the will, my determination, I'll carry unbearable loads out just to get more and more and more and more. And nothing will stand in my way because of my will. That's, he says, what David HaMelech said, Sos onechi alim rasecha, that I rejoice so much on your state, on your teaching. Kimotzei shalol rov, as if you find an endless amount of spoils. You'll just run and grab and run and grab. We always give the example like you have a 1 hour shopping spree in Giants. So you're just gonna go back and forth a million times to take everything that you could get. They have that in 1 hour. So if a person would look at the Imra Secha, he would get extraordinary keches. So he says, the fact is, we learned from Yaakov, is one lesson, b'yichud halev, meaning by a person's singular concentration and determination, there's almost nothing that can stand in its way. Mind, the expression really comes to mind over matter. The mind, the determination, is like a gift. It's endless, and it's able to accomplish things. So he said, we learned this out from Vayishka v'mokem ahu. Yaakov Avinu, why did he go to Shem Ve'eber? So, he learned his whole life in Yeshiva of Shem Ve'eber. So he says, but it seems that there are different Torahs. There's a whole Torah how to learn, how to deal with Lavan. Lavan, you know, it's a difference if you're dealing not with Lavan or if you are dealing with a Lavan. There's a Torah approach how to deal with the lover. Now, an example that we have of a Torah approach, how to deal with a lover, is how did Yaakov deal with a lover? Remember the first phrase that I mentioned, the first verse today, where it says, Vayichar le Yaakov meo. We mentioned earlier in the discussion that in chapter 31, right, when it says, Vayichar 36, Vayichar le Yaakov vayorev belovon, vayan Yaakov. Now, what would we think, Yaakov, if he gave us such an introduction, and he was burning, seething, right? And he started aggressively against Lavan. So what would you follow it up with? You, Lavan, you're such a lowlife, you're such a terrible person, you're trying to steal from me, you're trying to rob from me, I would kill you if I can. I suffered from you 22 years. That would be the normal reaction. But what should the reaction be of a Yaakov? They asked him, Shana, of a Torah person. But how do you show it? You don't go and react, right, in a powerful way. You have Gvura within you. You have Gvura within you. Strength within you. And that strength within you makes you a person who is subdued, subtle, and you're able to react in a Torah way. Now, this is one example. Now, you don't, you know, you say 14 years, sometimes to change a character of a person and a perspective of a person, it's much more difficult than it is to study something. You could study 14 years to learn Musa in order to be able to achieve and attain this type of a self-control. We say Yaakov was a Tam. What does Yaakov a Tam mean? Tam means he doesn't know how to deal. We see he did know how to deal, like we say, with Lavan. But it doesn't say Yaakov was a Tam. It says Yaakov was an Ish Tam. The Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohole, meaning that he had so total control of himself. Because he was in control of himself, his Gvura did not show itself in a beating out, in a violent reaction, but enabled to control his own. For example, we have two, this is a very blatant example, and you have a second example in the beginning of the Sedra. It says there that Vayhi Babeker Vihine Hileya. Can you picture this? He worked 7 years. He understood what Lavan was, because he told Lavan, Rachel Bitcha Haktana. So they told him in the shul, in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, when you're going out there, you also don't have to be a fool. Nazach Nitov. You're dealing with the Lavan. And when you're dealing with the Lavan, you have to be very clear, precise, specific. So he was. Now, they did what the Rebbe told him. Rachel Bitcha Haktana, but it didn't help. So now, how would a normal person, not a, what we call normal, how would he react the next day when he woke up? I mean, he would go nuts, right? Can you picture this happening to Yishmael? To a pair of Adam, Yuhi, a pair of Adam? What would Yishmael do? For his reaction, he would not only invade Kuwait, he would take Saudi Arabia, and he would take Iran and everything with him. I mean, he would kill out everybody. Just something like this, the Hussein or Saddam or whatever. Pair of Adam. Yaakov, not. The Medrash says, in fact, it says Tam, and it uses categories, that's just one aspect of it, says by the Agoda, the four sons. So it says Tam, Ze Yaakov. It uses the word Tam to apply to Yaakov. Shenema, Vahi Baboker, Vihine Hileya. What's the connection? The answer is, when you say Yaakov is a Tam, it means he's an Ish Tam. He has control of himself. Under the worst circumstances, in the worst situations, he deals in a way which shows, indeed, that he is a person, a spiritual person. So, Vayhi Baboker Vihine Hileya. So, when somebody will ask me, what did he do 14 years in the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, if I would pick out these two events that happened in Vayetze and show the sterling character and the ability to control his emotions and to act in a refined manner of this type, these are the most beautiful examples of what a person can achieve. But that's what took him 14 years of study. There's no question about that. And we also see that the rutzin, the desire that he has, was really such a desire that was that strong. Now, we find the expression also an interesting event that happened here when Yaakov was sleeping. And what happened? In fact, it wasn't really a sleep. Some say that the word, there's a medrash that says, in Medrash Bereshis Rabba, it says in the pasuk, in the passage, how does it read? Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso, and Yaakov woke up from his sleep. Vayomer, and he said, Ochein Yesh, I see that there is what? A God, B'mokem Hazer, in this place. He woke up and he said, Ochein Yesh Hashem B'mokem Hazer. There is a God here, meaning this is the place of the Beis Hamikdash, it says. V'anechi lo yodoti, and I didn't know. So Rashi speaks out, because if I would have known, I would have never slept in this place. Now, what was this place and what happened in this place? Miraculous events happened that Yaakov Avinu should sleep in this place. He had passed by, and then like Kvitas Aderech, it's like the mountain like came out to greet him. And the word Mishnaso, his sleep, Reb Yechanan says, not Mishnaso, his sleep, but Mishnaso from his study, from Shoneh, from studying. So it means that this came like, it wasn't really a deep sleep, but what it was, that it was like a trance of a nevuah, of a prophecy. So Hashem brought the sun down earlier in order to put him in a state where he would be like sleeping. So it would be like a dream, and he would have to get a prophetic vision and a trance and so on. So it was extremely important for this episode to take place, right? And Yaakov Avinu, what did he accomplish here? He dreamt of Eilim V'Yodim Bo. He was given the secrets of man's existence in this world and the relationship, we've spoken in the past in detail on the latter, and the relationship between the human and the spiritual, the higher life of the universe. So he had such revelations of the depths of Torah brought about with such, yet what does Yaakov say at the conclusion of this, and when it's all over, he says, Ochein yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh, I see that there is a God here, and I didn't know, because if I would have known, I would have never slept in this place. How could he say that? I mean, look what he gained. He gained the secrets of the universe, and God wanted, he made miracles to bring him. What does he mean he wouldn't have slept in this place? So the Baal Musa said, because it's not Derech Eretz. Kind of a Derech Eretz, is it? But look, it was God. Yeah, but you have to act with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz kodma l'teira. Even if you're going to sacrifice, we'll say, the knowledge and the perception that he gained at that time, if that would bring about my having to act in not a Derech Eretz manner, then I shouldn't do that. Derech Eretz, in a sense, is kodma l'teira. It's a very strong thing. For example, you'll see sometimes, here you don't see it that much, there's somebody come rushing in the shul, and they want to hear Kedusha, so they like push somebody out of the way to run right over there to be able to hear Kedusha. But that's not correct, because just because you want to hear Kedusha doesn't give you any right to act in an uncivilized or uncouth manner against somebody else. There is the idea of Derech Eretz, even kodma l'teira. So this is how the Baal Musa would speak in a Musar approach. And it has a tremendous lesson. It has a lesson not so much for the common person, but for the people perhaps that are involved in the higher spheres and tend to forget that they have to relate on this earth, on this world, in a human fashion, one-to-one. So he points out from here the strength of the lesson of Derech Eretz Kodma L'Torah.